Jesus, he saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was a God of pride. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast on your soul at the Savior's feet.
And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is on Monday night. It's a double night here. The first hour, we have Pastor Fred that gives us wonderful teachings in the Word. And then when he's finished, we pick up Watch and Pray. And that's open-ended. There's no time limit on it. And so it's a wonderful night, really, between the teaching of the Word and then the prayer. So let's take a look to see who's here with us. And Pastor Fred is here, and Sister Kathy is here, and Sharon, and Gigi and Randy. So let's take a look here with Pastor Fred. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. Lord bless you and all those that are listening tonight.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear your voice.
Good.
And do you have a word from us that you taught Sunday at church?
Well, it was a reminder of who we come to in our when we had communion Sunday, because it was the first Sunday of the month. And Lord kind of impressed upon me to show them who they were coming to when they were coming to the table. So it
well,
was out of Hebrews 2.
You kind of jogged my memory here, and we'll plan on next Monday being communion, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
I'm writing that in right now, Mike, so I don't forget it. All right. So let me open with a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to you. Father, thank you for today. And thank you, Lord, that we can all come together in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the power in your word. I'm asking your blessings on Pastor Fred, the extra anointing on him. And we thank you, Lord, and whatever we do in this ministry is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us at Calvary, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. We're in Hebrews 2, and Hebrews 1 obviously contrasts angels with human beings and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 2 is about the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's a reminder, and in fact, it starts off with a reminder saying we're not to forget or neglect or let these things slip away from our memory. And the fact that who the Lord Jesus is, especially when we come to him in communion and in times of worship and in prayer too, even. So therefore, I'm reading, I'll get the frog out of my throat. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, you and I were talking, John, about the condition of the culture and the world that we live in. And you had mentioned to me the fact that there had never been a time when cabinet members of the White House had to basically flee to protect themselves from people wanting to destroy them. And apparently we're in at that time. You told me that we're in that time. But not only that, but I don't think we fully understand where we are, even with what's happening in New York City tomorrow. How many years ago was it that we embraced with our children the Muslim faith in schools, when it became a moment where Muslims could have separate prayer times, could have separate situations and accommodation and all kinds of things? This was many years ago, in the 60s and the 70s. And we look what we're now reaping as a result of that. We're reaping the fact that we want to place into the one of the most powerful cities in the world folk who believe in communism and also in the Muslim faith. And so we are in serious times, but do we realize that it's like the frog in hot water? It's cold when before the water gets boiled, but as it gets worse. So the question comes, how are we concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we honestly believe that it's, as we consider the days we live in, are we getting closer? So does it mean I'm in a perfection mode? In other words, is the church getting ready for the bride? Or are we, have we let it slip away or flow away, like it says in that verse? It's just a matter of neglecting it or just letting it slip away, understanding who we're dealing with, especially when we come before the Lord to worship him and to receive communion and to pray. And have we forgotten that he's purged us from all our sins? So these are things that we need to remind ourselves, and the scripture is telling us to do that, to hold on to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? Well, let's just go back to these angels proclaiming the word of the Lord to Moses, bringing the law as the Lord himself did. And we'll find that in the Old Testament, there's a call to obey the angels. And it appears in Exodus 23, 20 to 21, where God states that he will send an angel to guide the Israelis and protect Israel, and warns them to pay careful attention to him, to the angel, and obey his voice, because divine authority rests with the angel. And the angel represents God's presence. His voice is divine, and he will not pardon their sins, as God's name is in him. I'll just read Exodus 23, 20 and 21 just quickly. There it is. Beware of him, and behold, verse 20, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now, this is from the Lord on high to God's people. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries. For my angel shall go before you and bring thee to the enemies, to the Amorites and Perizzites and all the others. But what happened? What did the law say would happen to all those who refused Moses' law? At the testimony of two or three witnesses, they were to be stoned. And so that's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. So we have a different situation here. We don't stone people, but we're warned not to let anything that we've received, for the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape? And what he's saying to us is that we've received a lot more. We've received the Lord Jesus Christ. We've received the blood of the eternal covenant. We've received eternal life. We've received the Holy Spirit. We've been given so much more and revealed so much more than was given to the Jewish people, the Israelites. And so it says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So we have been given this privilege of such a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Now, that's another thing that we need to understand. Who gave us this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And it makes it very clear here that the Lord Jesus, well, it also came from God, as we look in verse 4. But look, it came, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? So we got, the Lord was the first one to reveal the gospel, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, by his apostles and by his disciples. And then verse 4, God also bearing them witness. So God gave witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles about salvation and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So what he's telling us, that we're in a privileged position. We've been given so much. And don't let it slip. Don't forget. Don't just treat it very lightly. When you come into my presence, when you come, there has been so much that God himself has given to us and his son and all those that have gone before. Then in verse 5, for unto the angels have he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. So even though the angels are immortal and the angels had a presence of God that they brought with them and spoke with the voice of God, he didn't put the world in subjection. And this is the thing that really struck me when I first read this, and I misinterpreted it as I was reading, because all throughout the week before I gave this on Sunday, I looked at this and read this. Let's just go verse 5, chapter 2 of Hebrews. For unto the angels hath he not poured in subjection the world to come, wherefore we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? You made him a little lower than angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the works of your hands. That last phrase jumped out at me. You set him over the works of your hands. And I took that as misinterpreted, as the Lord gave to us the works of his of God's hands, and that we have an But it's not true. He gave it to the Lord Jesus. He gave it to the Lord Jesus because the whole chapter 1 and chapter 2 talks about the Lord Jesus. And he talks about the fact that Jesus was made lower than angels. And he'll make a big plea on that, that the Lord Jesus humbled himself and became a man. So let's look at that again. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the word to the world to come, whereof we speak. So they don't have any authority in this world or in the next world, other than that which God has given them, because they are immortal. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man? And that's what Jesus called himself, the Son of Man. And that's Psalm 8, obviously, as we read it. Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him. You made him a little lower than angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the works of your hands. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, it's telling us who this one that we come to in prayer and in worship and in communion and in fellowship is a special one. It's the Son of the living God. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? He was made a little lower than the angels. He was made like us so that he could suffer the pain of death for us. So we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. What is crowned with glory and honor? When you get a crown, that's an authority. That's a leadership. That's able to take over everything. If you've got the crown, you're the king. And so he's crowned with glory and honor. And then it says that he, by grace of God, should taste death for every man. So this Jesus, who died for us, gave his life for us, crowned with glory and honor, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And then it tells us who this Jesus of ours is, this Savior of ours. For it became him for whom are all things, whom are all things, and by whom are all things. Now, it's making very clear that there's nothing left in this earth than the Lord Jesus Christ being in charge of everything, and by him who are all things, in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, if we go back to we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels. We see the understanding of what we're looking and talking about. Let's look at the verse again. For it became him, verse 10, for whom are all things. Now, there's nobody more than Jesus, and by whom are all things. I mean, it covers everything. He is our Savior. And he was made perfect, made mature, made perfect through suffering. And we know that in 1 Peter 2:21, we're told that we all suffer, and we know that. We all suffer in different ways, but some suffer more than others, and we suffer in different ways. But we've told that he makes us holy, for he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them his brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, and I will sing praise unto him. And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which the Lord hath given me, for as much then as children and partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. That is Jesus, but we see Jesus, verse 9, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death. He was made lower than angels. He humbled himself so that he might suffer human death for every man. And we have this given to us, this place of authority that Jesus has been given, this place where he put all things under his feet, verse in chapter 2, 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now we could go to Psalm 8 and read that and understand a little bit more about all things in subjection under his feet. We could go to Psalm 110, which we will go to. So let's look at Psalm 8, verse 4. For what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you should visit him? Talking about the Son of Man again, Jesus called himself the Son of Man all the time. For thou hast made him a little lower than angels. We're never to forget that Jesus was born in humanity on this earth, just like you and I, and he was crowned with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And then Psalm 110, verse 1, says the same thing. It says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Until, that word until, teaches us something. We could go to other scriptures and find enemies under the feet. Joshua gave was given the human illustration of that when he was telling his captains of his army to come here and put their head on, put their feet on the necks of five kings that they had just overcome. But there's more. That's just a picture of what Jesus was going to do. But it's not quite so simple and easy that we might think that. According to 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at this, of things being put under Jesus' feet. It's a very interesting aspect of Christianity. You know, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. You make a declaration, you make a confession. You ask him into your life, confess your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. Believe in your heart that Christ rose him from the dead. And then you begin to follow him. You begin to pray, you begin to read the Bible, and you begin to worship, and you begin to testify of who this Jesus is in your life. You want people to know that you are part of his kingdom. But that was when you came to the Lord Jesus. But you also know that you are being saved. You are saved because of the blood of Christ. You are saved because of the confession that you make. And it's all the grace of God. And for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. And so we're saved. But we are being saved, like it said in Hebrews, that we're being sanctified, we're being made holy in this life. And there's coming a day when we're going to receive, we shall be sanctified, we shall be saved. We are being saved, we shall be saved, and we will receive the consummation of our salvation. Now, it's the same with this teaching on the Lord Jesus Christ. We just read in Psalm 110, sit thou at my right hand until I put my enemies under your feet. Well, when were the enemies placed under the feet of Jesus? Well, when he died on the cross and destroyed the works of the devil. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 and follow on. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? For since man, by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. So there's coming a time when everything will come to a consummation, when he shall have. Verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 15. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. And we're in that mode right now with him. For he must reign. He must reign in our life, and he must reign in everything, like we read in the Psalm, in Hebrews, by him and for him are all things. That's when we come to him, we come to realize who he really is. Who is this one that has won the salvation for us and cleansed us and wants to call us his brother? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Now, John, I'm going to ask you a question and ask you to answer this at the end. But there's going to be a millennium, and the enemy, the Satan, is going to be bound and put into captivity for 1,000 years. I think we all agree with that. And then he's going to be let loose. But in that 1,000 years, is not this work of the Lord Jesus still going on? For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. So when the Lord Jesus comes back to take us to his own, and then we live in the millennial kingdom, is he dealing with rebels during that 1,000 years? Because the devil then is allowed to get out, and there is some conflict that occurs. And then he is his final, in Revelation 20, you read all about his final demise. So, for he must reign, this Lord Jesus, Savior of the world, who has completed his work, who is sitting at the right hand of God, putting his enemies under his feet. But there's a job that is until, the Bible says, until. And then it says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. He has put them there. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. We live in an age where Jesus must reign right now. And when there's coming a day when God is going to, the Father is going to be revealed to us in a way that we could never have imagined. Yes, Jesus came to reveal the Father for us while he was on earth for 3.5 years, when he was made lower than the angels, when he became man. But it says here, shall the Son himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. I like that. Else what shall, that God may be all in all. So my question to you, John, is this battle where it says he must reign until he hath put all things, all enemies under his feet. We know, and I could quote many, many scriptures on the fact that the Lord Jesus is right now at the right hand of the Father, and that he is receiving that position. It's in there. We read it in Psalm 110:1. We get it in Matthew 26:64, Acts 23:34, Colossians 3:1, Hebrews 12:2. And it's a reminder to us, and Colossians does remind us, that we're to look and understand and see this same Jesus whom we love so much, that we're to look at him, at looking unto Jesus. In Hebrews 12:2, the author and finisher of our faith, you could quote it, "For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." But not only is this Jesus, whom we come to in communion and in worship and in prayer and even in reading our scriptures, "For unto him and by him and through him are all things." This is our Lord Jesus. And then in Colossians 1, it says so clearly to us, "If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And there are so many scriptures in the Bible, and Paul mentions it many times, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's where our eyes are to be turned towards. When we come to him, when we come to him in communion, when we come to him in prayer, and this is no light thing. We are to, yes, we praise him, we worship him, we thank him, but our hearts are to be lifted up in humility and in wonder for this Lord Jesus, that whom we come to and whom we worship and whom we serve. And he has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But in Hebrews 2, let me finish off the verse, the chapter here. This was just part of what I spoke on. Maybe I've gone on too long, but what I wanted to impress upon myself was the fact that this is a lifelong work. God has committed to the Lord Jesus Christ this work. And we live in that era, and we are part of his work. We have part in that work, and that's why Abba Father's Fellowship deals with leading people to the Lord, with the Hindus and the Muslims and the Africans and so many different people throughout the world. That's why these brochures go out all over the world. And that's why he has honored us. Let me just read from verse 10 of Hebrews 2. "For it became him," Lord Jesus, "for whom are all things, and by whom are all things." So when I come to him with my pain, or with my suffering, or with my poverty, with my riches, with my joy, with my blessings, with every single situation, everything, we come to him because everything is in him. And that's why it's so important that we recognize him for who he is. Verse 11, "For both he that sanctifieth makes us holy, and they who are made holy are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." So he who has done so much, and who reigns, and who is putting the enemy under his feet, having finished the work to a certain extent, because it says he destroyed the work of the devil, but at the same time, this battle goes on, and we're involved in that battle. We're involved in bringing many people, many of those who are in the trenches of the enemy. And then we come to verse 12 of Hebrews 2. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, the name of God unto the brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Jesus is saying, I'm going to, and it comes from the Old Testament in Psalm 22:22, where he says, I'm going to declare my Father's name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, and I will sing praise unto thee. And then it quotes Isaiah 8 and 17. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God has given me. We are his children. And if we are his children, he's looking after us. You know what it was like to be your father's child, your mother's child, when you were a little boy, a little girl, and they looked after you, and you didn't have a worry or a care on this earth. It's the same with this Lord Jesus, by whom and for whom are all things. He's the one who reigns. He's the one who battles for us. He's the one that we come to in every situation. He's the one that we lock ourselves into. And then he tells us to look, Colossians 1, to look to where he is at the right hand of God right now, and that there's a work to be done. Verse 16 of Hebrews 2, for verily he took not on the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. He became human. He became a human. He wasn't immortal when he came to this earth. Angels are immortal. They don't die. But Jesus came and suffered death. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. He wanted to be like us. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to his Father God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He himself dragged us all into the presence of the mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, who we have yet to begin to understand. But we get to know him through Jesus, who reigns. We live in the era of where Jesus is putting all enemies under his feet. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them, in other words, comfort them that are being tempted. We're all being tempted. We're all being touched. We're all being asked to suffer one way or another. Some are being asked to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are being asked, are suffering under illness and pain. Some suffering because of our sins and our disobedience. Some suffering because of what we eat and what we ingest and things we put into our bodies. Everybody suffers. And yet he knows that we all suffer. And yet he wants to bring us, to make us holy, and bring us again and again and again before his Father. And so Jesus must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. But it's a long process, my friend, just as it is a long process for you. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And so that process is always a faith walk, in believing things which are not so, but believing that they are so. Believing that whosoever believeth in him shall never die. We must believe that we are never going to die. That's why we have nothing to do with death on this earth. Nothing to do with the spirits of death. Nothing to do with anyone who entertains death or just dwells in death or in darkness. No. We are not part of that community. We are part of the community who believes in him who, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, who won the battle against sin in our life, who brought us into the presence of God and has reconciled us, given to us a peace that we could never have any other way, given to us a life that we could never have concocted, a life that is longer lasting than any retirement than any great career, than any great life on this earth. It's an eternal life. It's a life everlasting. It's a life full of life. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' precious name, help us to know who we are coming to day in and day out in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, John.
Amen. Amen, Mr. Fred. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I can't say superlatives because I tell you every week is the best, so I don't know what to say other than thank you. Thank you for the research you put in it. Thank you for the way the scriptures and the concepts were put together. It was a great blessing, Pastor Frank. It was a great blessing. I want to thank you for it.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for your prayers.
Yeah. So it was great, great blessing. And I'm sure everyone was edified. So I'm sure it was received well at church on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. I think it was a reminder to me, too, who we're coming to all the time. And the scriptures are so packed with these things. We're to keep our eyes upon the Lord, but we're also to understand the times that we live in. And we see the result of the times that we live in is in this thing coming in tomorrow. For instance, this election where we've embraced the Muslim faith and the communist ideology.
It doesn't get any worse.
Our children all love it. And we don't realize how much it's baked in the minds and hearts of our children until such times as we have a revival. And that's why we're praying, aren't we?
Right.
For a wonderful revival.
Right. Right.
But my question to you was, is it right that we say that the Lord Jesus is still putting his enemies under his feet, even in the millennium?
Yeah. Well, now here's the way it works. When the Lord returns, it says in Zechariah chapter 14 that there's going to be one Lord over the earth and his name is one. So there's not going to be any Allah or Buddha or anything like that. So the whole world is going to come under him. The problem is man still has a sin nature. That's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
So sin will not be in any way tolerated like it is now. So the people will not be able to freely sin. But I think that there is going to be some that are real rebellious and do. It's a feeling from looking at the scriptures. It's not going to be huge numbers. However, they want to sin. They're seething because they can't sin because they know the punishment. But there's the Lord, creator of the universe, for it. And they're going to have to believe that Christ died for them just like we do because of their sin nature. But at the end, Satan has been bound for 1,000 years, and it's loosed, and it says he's going to deceive the nations. Now, the nations are not deceived under Christ's reign. There'll be no deception whatsoever. They will clearly see who he is, you know. And those that have wanted to sin, they've been seething to sin, are going to believe his deception that they're going to overthrow Christ. And Satan is going to lead them to Jerusalem, to the city, it's called in Revelation chapter 20 there. And the believers are all going to be camped around the city. And at some point when Satan and the like the sand of the sea come to destroy, get to remove the Lord, they're destroyed. They're instantly destroyed. Then we go into the great white throne judgment. But here's what's very interesting, Fred. When you look in Revelation chapter 20,
yeah,
It's a different atmosphere.
Right.
It's like God's amongst us. You know that ruling as a king and all? Yeah. I don't know, and I'm just, because I didn't think of that before till now, what you were teaching. I don't see it as a, you know how God interacted with Adam before Adam fell in sin?
Yeah.
It was more
they were
of a
working,
yeah.
It was a personal thing.
Yes. That's the way it's going to be when everything, when Satan is finished, the rebellion is finished, the great white throne judgment is taking place and all. There is a relationship that is like you were talking. You remember? I just can't think of the scripture that you mentioned. But all things are put under Jesus' feet, and then he comes under the Father. Do you remember that scripture that you were?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way it's going to be in the millennial reign.
The Father will be all in all.
Yeah.
It's in 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
But Revelation gives you that, Revelation 22.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm in Revelation 20. Let me get to Revelation 22. Okay. All right. But when you see it there, Revelation 22, and it says at one point, well, anyways, I'm just not prepared for that.
Right.
But I am. But it is. There is going to be a change in our relationship with God. And that Christ may no longer be a king. And I'm just talking, I don't want to say heresy, but that's the way I think it is. And then it's like a whole different relationship, like a big family. Right.
Beautiful.
Is that the way you see it?
Yeah. And the Father has given to the Lord, his Son, all this work to be done until everything is consummated and completed, and then he's final. This, you know, we'll never. There's no fear of the Father. It's no, you know, it's the Abba Father, the final Abba Father that is with us, in such a way that there's no. I mean, it's hard to imagine. It's heaven. Come on. It's a beautiful, beautiful sense that we cannot imagine, and yet it's there. We get inklings of it. I don't know. I may be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, God, you know, to make it clear, I just quickly looked at Revelation 22:1, and it talks about the throne and the crystal water flowing there out of the throne, and it's for the healing of the nations and all. But to me, it's more like right now there's a gap between me and the president. We're instead of us having a king, we have a president. So there's that big gap, and it doesn't seem to be there in eternity with the Lord and us. Now I'm talking when everything is settled, when we're living in the king, with him in eternity. It's different.
It's an amazing plan that the Father has. And it goes on forever. We have no clue as to what he has planned for us. And we just have to begin to wonder stick with the plan that he has for us now, okay? Jesus is reigning right now. We're all the way through. He's the one who's going to bring, and we're going to see him soon when he comes back and takes us, and then comes back after.
I was,
he has a wonderful.
Pastor Fred, I was actually looking, I was thinking of Revelation 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears
from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. No, you're right, you got it. Well, thank you, John. Thank you so much.
All right.
I didn't know it was a long circuitous route to get there, but I got, you know, we until he must reign until everything is under his feet. Until there's a process involved, isn't there? There's a process.
Yeah, and there's still some more time to go, Pastor Frank.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Now we want to pray for you.
Yeah, this voice of mine, sometimes it goes croaky and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear it.
Yeah.
So.
But praise God.
Could you just hold on for a minute, please?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gigi, are you there? Yes, Gigi? Hello? All right, Pastor Fredo. She might call.
Sorry, John.
Yes.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'd like you to pray for Pastor Fred, please.
Yes, and his family, right?
Yeah. Anything in particular, okay. Pastor Fred?
Well, they keep giving these fusions to Kate. She just came back with one. They're going to discuss it in a few weeks' time, and I'm hoping that they stop doing this, you know, once they realize that it's not working or it is working. I don't know. Her numbers are going down, but the tumors themselves are not disappearing at this point. But we keep praying for that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. And also, shall I pray for the church and the outreach as well, Pastor Fred?
Yes, please. Yes. Wonderful.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's so clear that you care about us, that you love us, and that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we are so grateful that we can have Pastor Fred come and teach us. And we pray a blessing over him for looking into your word and making it clear not only to us, but to his church. So I'm praying that this would reap a great harvest amongst us and amongst the church, that we can draw close to you because the word is being divided correctly and taught correctly. So we're grateful and we're asking you for a blessing on him and his church and this outreach, that there would be many more souls come to you. Time is short, we know that. So we're asking you for a great outpouring on his church and on this outreach, that you would bring the people that are ready to hear. And we know that there is a harvest and that it's great, but they are laborers going out. So we're asking you for a great harvest of these people. And Lord, we pray for protection on Pastor Fred's church and all of the people there. We pray protection on Pastor Fred and his family and their places that they're living. And we also want to pray, Lord, for Katie and Nate, but specifically for Katie, Lord. We're praying that if this is not the right treatment for her to receive, that they would stop doing it. And that there would be another treatment, maybe not the way that these people, these doctors are doing it, but we're asking you to lead and guide Pastor Fred and his daughter. And we're praying for healing, for a complete healing, Lord.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Know that you are the great healer and that it is possible. It is possible for her to be healed. And we also lift up his son, Nate, and we're praying the same thing for him, that you would provide exactly what they both need and that it would be the cure. But we know that it has to also have you in the midst of it. So we're asking you for mercy and for healing and for deliverance from every evil thing. And Lord, I also want to pray over Pastor Fred's voice, and that you would help him to figure out if there's something he needs to do, so that he can speak clearly. And so we pray over him that you would heal this in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we don't want to forget what's going on tomorrow. And Lord, even though it doesn't look like the odds are in this favor, when you're in it, it can be anything, any result. And so we're just asking you for mercy, especially among the Christians in the city, and especially the Jewish. I know the rabbis are concerned about this, and they should be. So we're praying for protection over your people, and that I don't know who's supposed to win, but I don't think evil is supposed to win. And so we're just praying for mercy, Lord. We're praying for mercy, and that people would come out in droves to vote, so that they don't come under this. It's like a heavy demonic cloud trying to take over there. So we're asking that you would wake people up and they would go out to vote. And so, Lord, we just put that in your hands, and we thank you in advance. And we just pray again, we just pray a blessing over Pastor Fred and his family and where they're living and the church and all of these people. And we just pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Fred, for teaching. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Praise God and for your prayer. Wonderful. Okay, John, thank you so much.
All right. God bless you now.
Yes, Lord bless.
Bye. Bye. Well, thank you, Gigi. That was a very nice prayer. Yeah. Hello? Gigi?
Yes, I'm sorry I muted myself. Yes, it's always nice to hear Pastor Fred.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. So I'll let you rest, and we're going to start off with Sister Kathy, and then I'll get back to you. Now, you do not have to mute yourself, all right? You're being muted right now. All right. Sister Kathy.
Yes. That is a different voice saying mute off now. Can you hear it when it does that?
No.
It's just a sweet little lady saying mute off. But Lord, we just lift up your praises. We sing and shout and glorify you because you are our God. You are Alpha Omega. You will always be the one true living God of all creation. And we thank you so much. We just give you glory because you did it all. And you let us be partakers of this glorious, glorious gospel and sharing of it and working in the fields. And we just thank you for that. We pray, oh God, for this awakening and revival and renewal and refreshing. And we just thank you that you are working it for your good. And very soon you're going to come for us. And very soon we will be caught away in the clouds in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we will ever so be with you. And we thank you, God, that we are looking for your glorious appearing. We are looking for the clouds to part and us to just be caught up in the sky and then come back with you for the last appearing, the second time. So thank you, God, for Chaplain John coming back to health and strength,
yeah,
homeostasis, Lord. Thank you. And bless Pastor Reinhardt, Bishop Reinhardt, as he takes off back to his homeland tomorrow. And Lord, I just pray that he will have been satisfied with his journey here and the support that he's got and the inroads he made. And just thank you, God. Thank you. And Lord, we pray for just all the other needs of the foreign missionaries, the international mission people, Zephaniah and Jamil and Abel, and just all of the ones, Lord, that are fighting the good fight of faith and running the race and keeping the faith. Lord, I pray for the election tomorrow. I pray, God, that Virginia, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey will be red. Let it just be red. And thank you, Father. Thank you for all the work that has gone into it, all the wisdom and insight you have given these pundits for propelling the political need forward. And Lord, just do not let Mondami win. Please, God, please. That would just be a desperate, desperate feeling to know that we have yet more Muslims and Islamics in our nation as political pundits and constituents and elected officials. So thank you, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise. And there's just several other things I want to pray for Chaplain John as he goes to the prayer tomorrow. I pray that Sharon will be able to get her procedure done very quickly and efficiently and painlessly. And Lord, Twizzle's going to be going to the doctor tomorrow, and she's very apprehensive, or I'm not going to say she's apprehensive, but she just needs to get a good night's sleep. But nobody in their right mind likes to go to the hospital. And thank you that her sister is taking her and just help her get good news or whatever procedure she may be having done or test or whatever. Just help it be smooth and easy and productive, and that it will only have to be done one time. Thank you for that. And Lord, just all the other people, bless Pastor Fred, bless Kate and Nate and just the others, Lord, the grandchildren and his congregation, and just Steve there in Long Island, and bless Desmond, Lord. Help him. He is adjusting to having Shala not be there, and we just pray that she will come home in her right mind and that it would never leave, and she would just be functioning and productive and beneficial to Desmond. And just bless us all. Thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you have planned for us. And just give us all a great night's sleep and a wonderful Tuesday tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Where is Paula Jean?
Oh, my goodness. I absent without leave, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm going to Sister Sharon. You can call 911 there to find out about her.
I'll just call her directly, and hopefully she'll answer.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, right. I thought she was in here earlier. I know. Well, this morning she was. So.
Yeah, this morning now, she was.
Sister Kathy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I'm putting you on mute just so you don't have to double mute it.
Okay.
Here it is.
Okay.
All right. Now we have Sister Sharon.
Okay. I just want to say thank you, dear Father God, for Abba Father International. And I want to thank you so much for today. I want to thank you for how much better Chaplain John looks and everything. And we just pray that whatever going on with him is done. I just pray that it is done. And I imagine everybody in his family would like to know that it is over and done with, and that this is not a contagious thing that anybody else in the family could get. And so far, we haven't heard that anybody else in the family has gotten it. So we'll just have to wait and see and pray. We'll pray over this and pray over Chaplain John, and just pray that he continues to improve and get well. And I just thank you for that, dear Father God. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Fred for coming and giving us some the word tonight. And it's just so wonderful just to sit back and listen to that man's voice and just imagine him at that church that he preaches at, and that he is just being blessed by doing so, and that his family is being blessed. And dear Father, I just want to say thank you to everybody who is here and part of Abba Father. And we have just really got a very strong, strong friendship going here in this Abba Father community. And I'd like to also pray for the Des man, that everything is going well with him. And that I know Shia will be returning soon. And he's just something that he's just got to prepare himself for. And he'll be getting the appropriate help and stuff. And we just want to pray for him and just know that he does care. He does care. And but this is a difficult situation and stuff. And the same thing is what and everybody goes through that with sometimes with people and stuff. So we just need to just to pray for these mental health situations, and that the people have a chance to get their lives set straight so that they can enjoy their life. And that is what we really, truly, truly want for Shia and stuff. And I just want to say thank you for her. Thank you for her wanting to be there with the Des man. And he is her support mechanism. So we just need to keep praying for that. And again, too, for Twizzle being a little bit alarmed about having to go to the doctor's tomorrow. This is just for a regular general checkup. Twizzle and I did talk a little bit about it. It's nothing, no big deal. None of us would be concerned about it. But she is just very anxious about having to go to the doctors at any time and for any matter. It just unglues her emotions and stuff. And so we just want to pray that she does feel better, that she will get a good report and not be afraid to go again or to tell us what's going on. And we just know that we love her, and we just need her to be part of our ABBA group. And we just want to say thank you for her. And so, and also, I just had a good day today talking to Gigi and Randy, and a little bit to Gigi about some of the treatment things that people do to get through a lot of pain and stuff. And I just was thankful to her for calling me, and we were talking about this issue. It is not easy to be in pain 24/7, but I think I am kind of like over a slump on some of it. So I just thank you, dear Father God, that you were helping me get through this. And I am so thankful that that this can be done and stuff. And I just, I'm just so happy to be part of Abba Father. I'm so happy that I could pray, I could come here and pray and be prayed for. It is just so wonderful to know that this can go on. And again, I just want everybody to remember that Kathy is doing the Out of History into Now series. And they are wonderful to listen to. Each video is just a few seconds off of 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you're at 30 minutes and 40 minutes into listening to them. And you're going, oh, there's even more. You want to press them and listen to them. And once you get started, you just don't want to stop. And I just thank her for that. It's just wonderful, wonderful clips. It's like adult Sunday school and stuff, and I really do enjoy listening to them. And I just want to say thank you, Pastor, to Chaplain John, for all he's doing and stuff, and that he is well and feeling well. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that we do all have each other. We all have you to pray to, and we can pray to you. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, thank you, Sister Sharon. When you mentioned about Kathy's out of history into the present, well, something like that's the name of it. Sister Kathy, are you there?
I am.
All right. Now, Gigi and Randy?
Ready.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, hold on. And Sister Rita, hold on. Are you there, Sister Rita?
Yes, Chaplain.
Okay. So what happened today, I want to share with everybody what happened today. This is really, really exciting. Dove called me, and we had some more prayer. And it's a couple things. But while we were praying, I felt the Lord spoke to me. And, you know, you haven't heard me say that too often, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like he definitely spoke to me. And I got all excited, and I said, Dove. I said, the Lord just spoke to me, and here's what he showed me, that he wants me and Dove to put together a end times defense of the nation of Israel as it's being attacked now. And it was, as the more we talked, the more it unfolded. We're going to base it. Everything we do is going to be based on the everlasting covenant in Genesis 17:7, and the prophecy about Jerusalem in Zechariah 12:14. We're going to go into how the nation of Israel was created. It was created in justice. I mean, there was none of this nonsense. It's illegal. We're going to do the whole history of modern Israel, how it came together. We're going to go into America's background and support for the creation of Israel. We'll go into how unique Israel is. About twice it was destroyed off the land, and twice it came back. The whole thing, and not to leave any loose end.
What awesome!
And it looks like it'll be a 3-part series.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And some of it we're going to do question each other, and some of it, like his expertise, I want him to do on his own. And like my expertise, to let me do it on our own. And then we'll have other things where we'll question each other. Like, well, you know, what about this, John? You know, and Dove, you know. So,
awesome.
But it will cover everything. And then he's going to promote it on his TV shows.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
And I'll promote it here.
Awesome.
I'll promote it here. So he's working on that right now. He's getting together with his son to figure time that they, you know, set time aside to do it. But there's no limit on this. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have 4 hours, we'll do it 4 hours. If it's 3 hours, we'll do 3 hours, you know, whatever it is. And that all just came together today while we were praying together. All of a sudden, I said, Dove, we need this. They're running amok. And this has to be, they could use it in every church in America. And they could use it at Turning Point America, you know, and politicians could use it. We need to defend the faith against this. We can't let them lie and lie and lie without it being answered.
Yes, absolutely.
So
that is awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that exciting?
Very, very exciting.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
So that's something that I wanted us to bring up in prayer. I had completely forgotten all about it, Sister Sharon, until you mentioned that in prayer.
Okay. Well, dear Father, we want to bring before you this new adventure that Chaplain John and Pastor Dove and others are going to be doing together. They're going to be doing like a history session from around the world and the beginning and the making of Jerusalem and Israel and all the, I can just see it now. It's just going to be just so wonderful. As he talked about Chaplain John, your Father God will do what he feels he's an expert in. And Pastor Dole will talk about what he feels he's an expert in. And I forget who you said the third person was. I'm sorry.
His son will do all the tech work.
Okay. All right. Sure. Pastor Dove's son. And so, dear Father, we just want to pray for everybody that's going to be part of this. And I can just, I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear them start asking questions of each other about these topics and stuff. And I think that it's going to be very, very powerful and useful. And I think also, too, it'll give us a chance to look at where our mind is with these topics and stuff. And maybe at some point we will be able to give our 2 cents or 3 cents and stuff, even if it's by email form. But dear Father God, I just thank you for this wonderful idea. I thank you that we are able to study and to hear that this is going to happen. I am so thankful to be part of Abba Father International, and this just made me happy. I thank you very much. In your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we have very little like work to do on it because Dove already preaches this and I already preach it. We don't have it. It's a matter of organizing it and just tying it together and all. That's what we need. But everything is there. Isn't that exciting?
It is very exciting. Wow. I can't wait.
And one thing I want to get out in the open is how God used America, somewhat England, but God, the backbone of the modern state of Israel comes from America, the American church.
Yes.
The American church. So this is, I mean, it's sky's the limit. We don't have any time limit on this. I said, Dove, no time limit. Don't put a time limit on it. You know, we'll just run and run and run and run and leave no open ends, no questions that are not answered. And we can bring out information that was never, it's not even really known how America saved the seed of Israel during World War I. No one knows that. No one. But I've got all the material. I got the pictures. I can show you the boats, the Navy ships that were used to save the Jews. You know, so this is, I want the world to know, especially America, how God used the United States to bring his nation Israel forth. And I can even show the scriptures that from Exodus, Leviticus, where God says that they have to repent to be brought back to the land. And they didn't repent. You know, if they come back to Israel, to modern Israel, they didn't repent. But the church did. The intercession of the church is what brought the restoration of the modern state of Israel. That's what's really exciting in this. I mean, everything is really exciting. All right. So we'll be every day. And Sister Kathy, you could spread it around to all those prayer chains you're on and all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we want this to get into every facet of the American church. And we're going to make a stand against Tucker Carlson, this guy Fuentes, Alex Jones.
Candace Owens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. I've never seen anyone do a 180 like her.
Mm-mm.
My, oh, my. And that guy there, Mike Adams, the health ranger.
Yeah.
He's a raving lunatic. Now he's even teaching the Bible, like Ezekiel 38 and 39. I watched them teach the Bible saying that that was against Israel. That was God going to destroy Israel and not destroy the nations against Israel, but it was to destroy Israel.
Man, that has to be challenged for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can't let that. So we get this tool. You know what I'm thinking now? We can even offer the book as America's Done to Israel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow, this has come full circle for you, Chaplain John.
Yeah.
You just made it come full circle when you said America, mm-hmm. as America's Done to Israel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I can, you know, look, we can offer the tape, the video about me and Rabbi Tovia Singer. There's a lot in the three-part series that I have. You know, there's a lot.
All right.
Now we have.
So exciting.
Yes. Now we have. We have Gigi.
You're going to have to mute me.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Sister Sharon?
Sister Sharon says you gotta mute me so I can shut up.
Oh, all right. You got your wishes been granted. That's too funny. All right, Gigi and Randy.
Yes, I think this is wonderful.
Yeah, we're all a part of it.
Yeah, I think we should pray that we can give it to President Trump.
Yes. Yes. This is going to be, there is going to be no loose end on this. Everything will be covered. Everything. No loose end. And I told Dove, I said, every time we get a chance, we got to bring in the covenant and the prophecy. You know, the covenant about the nation there and the prophecy about Jerusalem.
Yes, that was very exciting. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, so we can say in this, the reason Israel is unique, the reason Israel was destroyed off the land twice by the Babylonians and by the Romans, and they came back. Their religious system was destroyed, and they came back. You know, they have the same form of, well, it's Judaism is, it's not like with the temple worship. Also I said, though, we've got to, every time we get a chance when we're doing this, we have to point that the Jews are back in the land because of the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's where all this is heading. That's where all this is heading. That's God's end game for his restoration of Israel now, is Jerusalem will be under Jewish control, and that's where he is returning, and that's where he's going to save Israel from complete destruction. You see, so this is, now we got the second coming of Christ in it. So he loved it, and he would talk about things. I say, Dove, that's great. That's a great idea. And then we were kind of feeding off each other, you know?
Well, that's wonderful. That's okay. Wonderful. I think we need to also, while we're praying about this, that we pray that this would potentiate an outpouring.
Okay. All right. All right.
And Gigi, I called Paula Jean and it went straight to voicemail. So she may be ministering on the phone, but just cover her anyway. And then remember Twizzle with her going into the for stuff tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. That's fine. So, John, you let me know when it's time for me to pray.
Right now.
Because maybe you want to. Oh, you want me to pray right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to, I'll start with Paula Jean and then I'll go on. So Lord Jesus, we lift up Paula Jean to you and we ask you that you would please protect her and that you would encourage her and watch over her, Lord, and that she would get a good night's rest, and that you would watch over her in every way, Lord. And she's a dear sister to all of us, and we love her. And we're so grateful that she can come and join us. And we want everything the best for her. So I pray that in the name of Jesus, and we pray peace over Twizzle, that the outcome would be good, and that you would show her that this is an anxiety and fear issue so that she can deal with it. And she's had other things that have brought the same thing upon her, Lord. So we're just praying for peace and comfort and health over her in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we have been praying for an outpouring. And maybe this is one of the tools for a massive outpouring across our country. So we're praying that everything that John and Pastor Dove do together will fit all the pieces of the puzzle together perfectly. And then when people see it and hear it, that they will be convicted about the truth of what is being taught. And it will be a revelation to them, like it has been to us. But we're also asking you for an outpouring to go along with it so that people would see the actual history of what happened in our own country, and that this would be an encouragement, a conviction, and knowledge that they would want to pass along to others. So we're praying that you will bless them as they're putting this together. You would continue to give them the ideas that you want them to have, and that they would put it together in the way that you are asking them to, just like what you do with John and the pamphlets, Lord. And we also ask you, Lord, that it would be, I'm not sure how to pray this, but that it would be marked in a good way that this is from you. That this, when people would listen to it, they would know. They would know that this is coming out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to show them the truth. And Lord, we pray that you would open the doors even to Mike Huckabee and President Trump, that because we know that they're both interested in history, and we don't know if they know these things, but we're asking you that this would even go to Israel and be a witness in Israel. So we are thanking you in advance for all of this. You brought this to John, and it's so obvious, and everything is in place. It's lovely that Pastor Dove knows what he knows, and that he has a son that can accomplish this. This is fantastic, Lord. So we just pray a blessing over John and Pastor Dove and Pastor Dove's son. And we just lift your name on high, and we're praying this would lift your name on high, and you would be exalted. This would be an exaltation of who you are, and that souls will come to you as a result of that. And I also want to pray that you would open doors in churches that maybe have not been open to this, or maybe are ignorant of this, and that you would formulate a chain of people that will be able to pass this on to the right pastors, to the right churches, to the right places, and the right outlets. And we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That was absolutely perfect. And then we have Sister Rita.
Okay. I'd like to give a praise report. Today I went to town, and I've been saving change in a jar, a gallon plastic jar, and I carried it out to the car, and it's heavy. And I was worried and concerned about how I was going to get it into the bank to get it transferred into a currency. And I asked the Lord to help me, and I was in I thought he's going to take care of me. That's what I asked him to help me. He's going to take care of me. If I have to open those heavy doors with the jar or go into the bank, that he would help me do it. And so I left it in his hands. And so as I was driving up to the bank, this man also drove up at the same time. And I asked this man if he could help me with something. He said, sure. And he was so very nice about it. And so he carried the jar of coins into the bank for me. And I just want to give thanks to my Lord and my Savior, my God, that he's taking care of me. With even the little stuff, he takes care of me. So thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for today. And I thank you for taking care of me, Father. All that you have, how you have taken care of me my whole life, Father. I thank you, Father, for the water I drink, the food, the clothing, and the housing. You have blessed me, Father. And I thank you, Father, for dying and loving me when I was not worthy of it. Father, I hold up America for you, to you. And I pray for that election that's going to go on tomorrow, I think, with Mardani. Father, you have said that if we pray anything in your name, that you'll give it to us. And Father, I'm praying this in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ, that this Mardani, this Muslim, God-hating man, he hates you. You, Father, and your son will not get elected in New York. I think he's running for governor or something like that, or Father. Even if he's running for mayor, just stop him. Do stop this man from winning the elections tomorrow, that election, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would forgive, heal, and have mercy on America. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Father, in all our major cities across America and in all our college campuses. Father, we are not worthy, Father, of your mercy. We are a sinful nation. We have embraced abortion and pornography, transgenderism, and homosexualism, Father. And Father, I ask, Father, that the people that are trapped in these sinful lifestyles, that you will deliver them from this, and that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray, Father, for all the Muslims that live in America, that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will stop this movement, Father, that is moving across America, the Islam moving across America, Father. I ask that you would stop it. And I pray that you will give a burning desire in the hearts of Christians across America to witness to these Muslims, Father. And also, Father, I hold up Israel to you, Father. I pray that you will put a hedge of protection around her, give her peace. And I pray for every single Jew in Israel, Father, that they will repent and come to the saving, that they would repent from their wicked ways and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I also pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And Father, I also ask that you would protect and encourage Prime Minister Netanyahu and guide and direct this man in all of his decisions for Israel. And I asked for the saving knowledge of Netanyahu and his wife, that they would repent and come to the saving knowledge of your son. Bless their marriage, Father, and bless their children. And I also pray for the IDF. I pray for each and every soldier in the IDF that they would come to know your son as their savior before it's too late, before they die in a battle or something, but before it's too late, Father. And I pray for Mike Huckabee, Father, that Mike Huckabee would be a blessing to Israel. And I pray that you keep Mike Huckabee close to you and to your son, Father. And I pray, Father, that I pray that you would bless his marriage and bless his wife, Father. And I also thank you, Father, for giving us President Trump. You have blessed America with him, and not only America, Father, but the other countries in the world that he has stopped wars in. And I give you thanks for this, Father. And I ask that you would put a hedge of protection around him. Wrap your arms around him, Father. And I pray that he would love you and your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, more with each passing day. Bless his marriage. And I pray that Melania, that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I pray that also J.D. Vance and his wife, Usha, would come to the saving knowledge of your son. And Father, I ask that you show them how corrupted the Catholic Church is. And I ask, Father, that you show this to Melania also. And Father, I hold up Chaplain John to you. Encourage, comfort, and strengthen him. Guide and direct him in all of his preparation for his teachings and the new brochures that he is working on, Father. And bless and anoint all of his brochures that he still has, and the ones that have gone out, that the receiver will come to the saving knowledge of your son, and that many hearts will be healed, Father. And I also pray, Father, that you would guide, direct, and bless this meeting these meetings that Chaplain John and Doe will be having, and that many people will be blessed from hearing the information that they are going to gather together and teach. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen, guide, and direct all the Auburn Father Fellowship pastors and bless their churches, Father. I also that you provide clothing, water, food, and shelters to these poor churches, and bless the members of these churches, Father. And I also ask, Father, that for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in each and every Auburn Father Fellowship Church, Father. And Father, I also pray for Trizzle. Comfort her heart, calm her mind and spirit, that she would not worry about going to the doctor, and give her a good night, restful sleep. Bless Paula Jean, keep her safe, and give her a sound, restful sleep tonight, Father. And Father, I also pray for Charlie Kirk's widow. I pray that you strengthen, encourage, comfort, her and her children were Charlie's parents and his siblings, and I pray for I forgot her name, Charlie's Kirk's little Erica, I think her name is, wife, and the children. I pray, Father, for everyone that was well at this one. People, I pray for the people, Father, also that worked on a daily basis with Charlie. I pray that you would wrap your arms around his wife, his children, parents, his siblings, and the people that was with him on a daily basis, Father. Wrap your arms around him and comfort him, Father. And I also pray, Father, for the Israeli hostages. Heal their broken hearts and minds, Father, and spirits and hearts, Father. Strengthen and encourage and comfort each and every one. And Father, I also ask that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also pray, Father, I ask, Father, that you would bless Pastor Fred and comfort him and strengthen him, Father, and help him to find comfort in you, Father, when he starts worrying about his children, Kate and Nate. And I pray for Kate, and I pray for Kate, Father. I pray that you would heal her. Whatever's wrong with her, Father, heal her. Strengthen, comfort, and encourage her. And I pray this too also for Nate. I pray that you would heal him also, comfort him, encourage him, and say comfort, encourage, and encourage, comfort, encourage, and strengthen him, Father. And Father, I pray for Kathy's brother-in-law, Ricky's. I pray for his family, Father, his mother, his wife, his children, stepchildren, and his brother and sisters, or anyone, Father, that is affected by this, by his tragic and terrible death, Father. Comfort, strengthen, and heal each and every one, Father. And help Kathy too with, I help Kathy too, Father, with this tragic death. Comfort her heart, Father, and encourage her. And Father, I pray for everyone that is online tonight. I pray that you would comfort us, encourage us, and strengthen us, Father, and heal us. For I pray this all in the holy and glorious name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow, wonderful, wonderful prayer time tonight. And thank you. Thank you, Sister Rita. Thank you. Father, I thank you so much for tonight, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Fred's teaching and then all the prayer, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the vision you've given us now, Lord, through this ministry here and hooking up with Pastor Doug with this putting together this defending the Jews here in America, Lord. But, and it goes beyond that. Because we want all Israel saved, Lord. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us put this together, Lord. We pray that this is going to be a great blessing. We pray that many, many hearts will be changed to defend Israel. It will protect America, Lord, from this terrible twisting of history and the Bible, Lord, against the Jews here now in America. Lord, we pray that it'll be a, you'll use it as a wall against them to stop them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it'll go far and wide, Lord.
not limited, but it will go far. It's unlimited, Lord. It'll affect numerous churches, Lord. We also ask that politicians, Lord, will watch this, and they'll be strengthened to stand, Lord. President Trump, I pray, even though it's geared with the gospel, I pray that it'll get into Israel and get to the Jews here. So we thank you, Lord, unlimited, unlimited, Lord. And my angle in this, Lord, as I'm thinking about it, one angle that I would like is that this would generate an enormous amount of funds that I could use in Pakistan and in Sri Lanka, Lord, in India, North Africa, Nigeria, Lord, Malawi, for the brochures, Lord. I just thought of it while we were praying here, Lord, that this would generate funds, and those funds then we could use to hundreds and hundreds and the millions of brochures going out, Lord. And I ask that you would allow this, Lord, and that you would set this up so it could be done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Standard. We're raising up a standard against this. Lies, Lord. Absolute lies. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Communism, Lord, needs to be exposed also. As wherever communism came, millions of people died. They're ruthless, Lord. They're ruthless. And then you merge communism with Islam. It's big trouble, Lord. It's big, big, big trouble, Lord. We praise you and thank you. We're praying for that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you to sweep the country, Lord. Atlantic to Pacific, up into Canada, down into Central South America, and then all around the world. The last days, end times, great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we praise you and thank you now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right, Gigi and Randy, what song would you like in closing?
Randy, do you have a song that we should?
Let's go with Jerusalem Cry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Randy Travis.
Jerusalem. Oh, no, I changed my mind.
What?
Let's have a Alan Jackson Festival.
No, I want Jerusalem Cry.
All right.
We'll take that. Thank you, John.
All right.
Can you hear Jerusalem's cry? Can you see the storm on the rise? Look around. You can't deny. This is the hour of heaven's time. Armies gather in the east for the war that's soon to come. Death will march with the mark of the beast. So seek the light and walk with the sun. Soon we'll see his wrath come down, and the Lord descending from the sky. When you hear the trumpet sound, God has answered Jerusalem's cry. And the moon blood red, and the stars fall from the sky. The word of God in the Bible says we're living in the end times.
his wrath come down, and the Lord descending from the sky. When you hear the trumpet sound, God has answered Jerusalem's cry. God has answered Jerusalem's cry.
Soon the dead in Christ will rise and join him in the sky. And even unbelievers will see God has answered Jerusalem's cry. God has answered Jerusalem's cry.